live on a Football Friday. It's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Thanks for joining us. It's a Friday post Steeler loss to the Titans. We'll get into that later.
Do we have to?
I guess we have to. But hey, you got some lineup questions or something like that? Send them to us, asylumfootball@gmail.com. And you can also hear us on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
And don't forget to check us out on Twitter, at Asylum Football. All your questions answered there, right, wrong, or indifferent. We'll answer every one of them.
And you can also find us on Facebook, at Asylum Football.
Yes, Facebook, something we still don't spend enough time with, Rick. We got to work on that.
Yeah, I know. I don't spend a fraction of the time we should, that's for sure.
It scares and confuses me, I got to be honest.
I don't, it's kind of strange. We had that problem the one time. Some guy had sent us, get on to our site and like us. He got on there, couldn't figure out how to like it.
Couldn't like him,
I had no idea.
All right, well, let's move past that, Rick. Jam-packed show. We'll get you some headlines. We're going to break down that.
I have a story.
Oh, you have a story.
Yeah,
All right. A role reversal. I like this. I like it.
You know, I come down here on Fridays. And we do it in your studio, and we do it in mine on Tuesdays. And on the way down, I stop at the same establishment that you do on the way up to my place.
Oh, something bad happened. I told you, this place is evil.
I walked in, I'm going to get something to drink, but, had to go to the restroom.
It happens. I've been there.
Went to the restroom. I came out. Got my drink. Paid for it. Got my car. Headed down here.
No disasters.
Nobody touched me. Nobody stole anything from me. Nobody lied to me. Nobody yelled at me. Nobody threw me any coins at me. Nothing happened.
So what are you saying? This is just me? Is that
I think you draw trouble. That's
apparently
what I think.
It follows me everywhere I go. Well, I'm happy you can travel so low-key, and fortunately I can't do the same. So, like I said, we'll do some headlines, go over that Steelers-Titans debacle. We'll give you our start sits of the week, and then, of course, we'll play the only reason you're all listening right now, we'll play some fact or fiction. Before we get into headlines, Rick, I think it's important to note, get those lineups set. And this week on the bye weeks are Chicago, New Orleans, Carolina, and Jacksonville. So set your lineups accordingly. Hopefully you've been working that waiver wire all week.
Yeah, and no matter what bye week it is, there's always significant fantasy implications there. I mean, you think, there's MJD, you got Forte, that Chicago defense.
Brandon Marshall,
Jay Cutler.
Drew Brees.
The Saints, Colston.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's going to be rough without those guys this week. So set your lineups accordingly.
Yeah, my main league got Drew Brees and Brandon Marshall both on a bye. I'm really hurt.
Do I play you this week?
No, thank God.
Man, we need to work on that scheduling. I think it's rigged. So let's just go in, Rick. I only found about three things I think even worth mentioning in terms of the injury front. Robert Griffin III practiced in full today, still listed as questionable versus the Vikings, though it looks like he should be able to go. Not a lot of news there. Pat Schwartz of the New York Post says that Hakeem Nicks looks like he's good to go. What do you make of Nicks? You think he bounces back, or you think he's going to find himself in this predicament week after week? I'm getting a little weary with Mr. Nicks.
Yeah, and unfortunately that seems to be his M.O., but, the upside of him being in there is something else. But going against that San Francisco defense, I'm not sure what to expect from him this week, to be honest with you. I don't know. I guess he's good to go, but you know what I'm saying?
He'll physically be there.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking a foot with a wide receiver, you always have some real, trepidation about really wanting to throw him right back in the lineup.
Yeah, along with his bad knee and shin and wrist and hip and every other thing he's got going on at the same time. Last bit of injury news I think is relevant coming out of last night's game. We're going to use this as a transition into to a sad recap of the Steelers-Titans last night. Rashard Mendenhall went out early with that Achilles injury. Reports are now that it is minor, so shouldn't miss any time, especially with the extended time off after the Thursday night game.
Yeah, that's good news for the Steelers, but, boy, I tell you, they got a lot more troubles.
Yeah, Rashard Mendenhall being banged up, the least of their concerns, not the least of which losing half their offensive line before halftime, an offensive line that I'm not sure was all that good to begin with, but you take Marquise Pouncey out of that. Obviously, the Steelers lose 26-23 at a terrible Titans team last night. Just awful all around. It's hard to, I know we're supposed to do this from a fantasy perspective, but I sort of just want to sit here and pout for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Hasselbeck looked like he's 27 standing back here winging it around. And I tell you, it was just sad watching that. It's horrible. Taylor, we talked before we come on the air. I heard somewhere today the stats on Taylor. I believe it was something like they completed 8 of 14 passes thrown at him for 143 yards, plus he had 3 flags.
Yeah, most of them to keep drives alive.
Exactly.
On third down. He's been awful. You know, I think the takeaway, here's what you see. The Steelers are no longer a defense you avoid playing against. You look at Chris Johnson, gets off for 19 for 91. 4 catches for 23 yards. Finally looks a little bit, and I'll tell you, this is the first time I've had the opportunity to watch him play an entire game this season. And something is missing with him. It really is, but still manages 91 yards on those 19 carries, 4 catches. Kendall Wright, 6 for 71. Britt, in what was a terrible game for him with all those drops, still winds up with 4 for 62 and a touchdown. Especially through the air, your quarterbacks and wide receivers, I'm not hesitating to play them against the Steelers from here on out.
Hey, no, and that's another thing that's really concerning to me is Chris Johnson gets 91 yards against the Steelers when he's getting 24 against everybody else.
Yeah, so what's that tell you? And then what's interesting, too, and this might go to some of Chris Johnson's struggles, yeah, he had 19 carries. If they'd have given the ball 25 times, he'd have ran for 140 yards. He was ripping off 7-8 yards a carry. He had the Steelers solved somehow.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know. Anyway, Ben broke Terry Bradshaw's record.
Yeah.
At least there's a couple of high marks there. But, you know, the offense is fine as far as passing between Ben, Heath Miller, and some of the receivers.
Don't forget Isaac Redmond and his 4 catches
yeah,
for 105
100, yeah.
yards. Raise your hand if you predicted that one.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah, Roethlisberger, 24 of 40, 363 and a touchdown. I tell you what, Rick, I think we've gotten to the point now where Ben Roethlisberger is an every week fantasy start. This is becoming a pretty common stat line for him. I worry as the season wears on with these offensive line woes, he might start getting banged up as he does it year after year. But while healthy, I think this guy's a must start.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, nothing else to be said about that, really. We agree on something.
Yeah, that's a shame. So let's move right on past that, Rick. So
I do have a little story I read. Previous week.
Is it the same thing about Sheets?
No.
Oh, all
right.
Oh, we promised we wouldn't mention the name of the establishment. Forget you heard that if you're listening on WSRU.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, you remember Jared Gaither. He gave up the sack that sealed the game, you know, for a loss to the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, San Diego. You know, he had a groin injury. And apparently, you know, Chris Collinsworth, you know, in the booth was commenting on that fact. In fact, I was watching the game. I did hear him. He said he was obviously hurting, needed to get out. And anyway, North Turner came out publicly. He said it was Gaither's responsibility to come out. And, you know, I'll quote. It said, "I heard that Chris Collinsworth said that, but he was looking down from up above," unquote. You know, but
like from heaven?
Well,
what
no,
was
he was
talking
up
about?
In the booth.
Oh, okay. I just thought he really.
But I have a question, okay?
Oh, okay.
Now, there's
you asking me?
There's coaches up in the booth.
That's true.
As well. Now, Chris Collinsworth noticed this guy was gimping around like somebody shot him with a 30-06. And, I mean, couldn't some of these coaches see this as well and radio down and say, "Hey, Norv, you know, Jared's gimping out there like he's got a busted leg. Maybe we got to get him out of there."
Yeah.
But no, it's his fault. I mean, it's never Norv's fault.
Well, no, absolutely not. Had it not been for Philip Rivers and a myriad of other guys throughout the years, even back to the Washington days, he'd have 4 Super Bowls right now. I think that's Norv Turner. I don't know if I make as much of that as you do. I sort of agree. But what guy isn't out there gimping around for the most part? We're getting 5 weeks into the season now, 6 weeks, heading six into the 6th week. these guys are all beat up, and there's guys, there's offensive linemen who can't play hurt. And I think if he doesn't take himself out of the game, that tells the head coach, hey, I'm good to go. And then when something happens, when a bad play happens, you can't go back and blame the injury then at that point.
I just think that, you know, everything's supposed to fall on the coach's shoulder.
Well, in the end, you're
and,
right.
And, you know, if you're going to say that, say I'm a head coach.
That's
and you did the same thing.
Okay.
All right. You know, I'm calling you into the office and say, look, you know, we're out there to win football games. It's your job to give this team the best shot at it. If you're not, you know, even at like 50-60%, you know, we got guys on the bench. If you need to come off, you know, let us know. It's your job to do that. You don't go on the air, you know, and announce it, you know, start pointing fingers.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if I'm that player you called in, though, I'm going to tell you, look, old man, me at 25% is better than any one of those J-Brones you have sitting on the bench, so
yeah, but then I'd hit
pull
you
me
in
off the field.
Yeah, but I'd hit you in a groin with a chair, so then, you know, that'd be it.
You would do what? Hit me in the groin with a chair?
Yeah, because I don't like you.
Well, I guess maybe you should have cut me in the preseason then.
No, I wanted to see you get hurt.
All right, so let's get away from all of that before I can see that going in a dangerous direction for our friends at 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the Rock. Rick, I think we had I know we had a lot of questions this week on the email and got a lot of direct messages on Twitter. I think you pulled out three or four of the toughest ones that we can stammer over here on the air for a little bit.
Yeah, I got about four or five, something like that I thought was pretty intriguing. And I got one here. I guess the deal's already done.
Oh, okay.
And,
so he wants us to make him feel better about it.
Yeah. It's half-point PPR.
Okay.
I traded Jordy for Colston. Is that a good trade? I've already answered, so I'll just wait for you.
Okay. Is it a good trade, I suppose? I don't know if there's a lot of movement there. I've been disappointed by Jordy. The last 2 weeks, I've been amazed by Marquise Colston. Ability to find the end zone, especially with Lance Moore out. If I had to pick one, if I was drafting, I think at this point of the year I'd take Colston over Nelson. So, yeah, I like that deal.
Okay. I agree with you. I do. Well, you know me. I like Colston
anyway.
He's explosive, and I really like the guy. And him and Breeze really click. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a fine deal, especially with the health problems that Jennings is having. And Jordy's, you know, going to start getting some of that number one coverage until he gets back. So, yeah, I like it.
You know, I think the story in Jordy Nelson, he's been fine this year. There's a guy neither one of us were high on in the preseason. Just so hard to back up a guy who came out of nowhere with a 15-touchdown season. We talked about it. Rodgers wasn't going to replicate it. Nelson wasn't going to replicate it. That entire Packers offense just to this point hasn't been able to replicate what they did last year. And I think Nelson may be suffering the worst in terms of that. Just such a big breakout. I mean, now they know who he is. He's getting more coverage. He's not able. So many of those touchdowns were on that deep ball, and defenses just aren't letting it happen this year. So a guy we weren't real high on, and he hasn't done anything to sway me to this point.
Yeah, and with Colston, you know what you're getting. And, you know, you may have your down weeks here or there because that's New Orleans nature, but all in all, he's solid.
Yeah, 1 week they'll just decide Devery Henderson's going to catch all the passes. Well, to be fair, they'll find the right matchup. But Colston seems in the last 2 weeks has solved that case of the drops and a huge red zone target, much to the dismay of Jimmy Graham owners, I think.
Yeah, but that's New Orleans. But
yeah,
anyway, I like the deal, so he can feel good about that.
All right, so well done, my friend.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, which two should I start in a flex?
Okay.
Elrod Stephen Hollings.
Elrod?
Isn't it? LaRod, sorry.
Did you just...
Well, I write fast.
Did
sorry
you just
about
call
that.
Him Elrod Stephens Howling? That is now his name on the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. Oh, Elrod Stephens
Howling, Ben Tate, Robert Meacham, Brandon Myers, or Joel Dressen?
Dressen. Boy, you are just butchering that question. Okay, so
I like Dressen.
I think Tate,
turkey and Dressen.
Oh, for God's sake, we're not to Thanksgiving yet. Don't get too excited. So I think the first name I pull out of there is Tate. Always a risk. You don't know how much of the offense will work his direction. You know, it's tough after that. I like Stevens Howling. I worry about his health. Meacham's been a big disappointment this season. I shouldn't just say this week, this season. San Diego going up against a good Denver defense. Dreesen, a tight end. I don't know what I think about that. He needs two, right? Two in this flex spot.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and go with Meacham just in the hopes of a PPR league. I like Tate out of that group best. And then looking in a PPR, I like Meacham. And with any receiver, when you're sort of stacked this way, there's a better chance he finds the end zone than any of these other guys.
Yeah, I got to go with Meacham. Number one, he's a starter. Keep your eye on Tate. He was questionable. I know he's a little bit banged up, but he's obviously, to me, the second choice there. If he's not good to go, I guess I'd have to go with Dreesen, to be honest with you, because I'm not trusting Howling or Arizona.
No, although I like anybody playing against Buffalo, I think about it, but I worry about Stevens Howling's health. He's been out the last few weeks. I think he's expected to play. I haven't heard otherwise at this point this week.
Yeah, but far as I know, I think Powell's getting the start, so
yeah.
I don't know. It's one
well,
of those kind of
they did
things.
Talk about, like we talked about on Tuesday, Stevens Howling playing in the slot.
True.
It sounds good, but remember last year we heard that about C.J. Spiller a lot, and those were his worst games towards the end of the middle part of the year when they were working him that way. They don't seem to find the ball coming out of that scenario as much as you'd think they would. So I think we're going to agree on that. Again, we'll go with Tate and Meacham, assuming Tate's healthy. This show's going to be boring if we keep doing this.
Boy, I can't. But yeah, last week we didn't agree on anything. This week we're agreeing on everything.
Darn near a fist fight on Tuesday and last Friday, which I think everybody prefers.
Yeah. Anyway, here's another one. Okay. Apparently we're going for an RB2. Steven Jackson at Miami or Spiller at Arizona?
I worry about the split with Spiller and Fred Jackson. I worry about Spiller's health. But I'm pretty much done on Steven Jackson. He's starting to find himself into the D'Angelo Williams territory with me. He's not quite that bad yet. And we've talked about it a couple of times now. That Miami defense is good, and nobody's running on them. So I'm going to take the risk, hope C.J. Spiller gets enough carries, and that shoulder's doing well enough that he can sort of save the day for you. I'm not touching Steven Jackson, especially in that matchup.
I agree.
Not again.
Yeah.
Give me Jackson.
Well, you
jerk.
Know, I mean, that's I've already answered this. I told him, monitor Spiller if something's going on with the shoulder, and then Jackson's going to, Fred's going to get the load. So maybe it would almost be forced to go with Steven Jackson. But other than that,
that's the only scenario that
yeah,
I play
exactly.
Steven Jackson where I'm forced
I don't
forced
like anybody
to.
Against Miami, and I don't like the Rams' Steven Jackson running game right
no,
now at all.
No, in general, regardless of the opponent, I don't like it. But Miami's playing some serious defense.
All right. Boy, we agreed again.
This is pathetic. I'm turning it off, Rick. We're done. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, here's one here. A trade question.
Ooh,
you
okay.
love trade
I do
questions.
Like trade questions. Is this our boy, Dr. Bunsen, trying to blow his team up again?
Yeah.
I was making that up. I was trying to do a bit. Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
This kid, he just destroying his team. All right. I give Ray Rice. I'm all right.
Yeah,
already.
I'm out. I'm done already. All right. But go ahead. Give Ray Rice.
I give Ray Rice, Julio Jones.
Whoa, hold on.
And Jaquizz Rodgers.
Okay.
Four, Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
C.J. Spiller.
Mm.
And Andre Roberts or Crabtree.
No.
I
no.
know.
No.
No.
Look, Ray Rice, Marshawn Lynch. I'll tell you what, at this point, just based on consistency, I might prefer to have Marshawn Lynch over Ray Rice. That's hard to say.
Ray Rice gets it done throughout the year. You
yeah.
watch him by week 14.
Yeah, he'll
15,
start coming together. And but that's a different argument. So I think you could make an argument for that trade if that's where it ended. So are you telling me with C.J. Spiller in his current state, maybe C.J. Spiller 3 weeks ago, we could talk about this. So you take that out of it. Are you going to trade Julio Jones and Jaquizz Rodgers for C.J. Spiller and those three bags of apples he was talking about at wide receiver? Absolutely not. This team is good, doctor. Listen, good doctor. This team is good. Leave them alone. Let them win.
I agree. It's horrible. And then...
Okay. Oh, not another one.
Here's our last one.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to throw another player into this deal.
No. Here's the last one. And it was just kind of a nice little conversation. Edelman was found on the waiver wire.
Okay.
The question was, is he a worthy pickup? So just
depends on who you drop, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I said. Well, he didn't know. And he says, Garcon?
No.
Nate Washington?
No.
Jaquizz Rodgers?
Maybe. 50-50, but probably not. I like Rodgers in a flex with the bye week.
Plus, he's
up.
A running back.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, I agree. I said I wouldn't drop any of these guys.
No. So, as simple as that. So, is that it for the questions we
had? That is it. I just had to throw the Edelman in because it was kind of nice.
So, Rick, I'll tell you what. We have behaved ourselves today. I didn't have any stupid stories, anything. We have left ourselves almost 40 minutes for Fact or Fiction. We're going to win an Emmy tonight.
Oh, that's just an Emmy.
All right, is that what you're getting at?
Well,
that's
we have
TV.
Some starts and sits, too.
Oh, I'd blow right past starts and sits. I wonder why we had so much time left. To be honest, I was telling you that because I was panicked because I don't have enough Fact or Fictions to cover 40 minutes. So, yes, starts or sits.
You get so excited
I
over
do.
Fact or Fiction.
I do. Who doesn't get excited
you
over Fact?
You
gotta
see him. He just gets all goosebumply and everything.
All goosebumply? Do you do that on purpose so I have something to name the show?
You're easily humored, so, why not?
Goosebumply. I'm not even going to know how to spell that, so we'll
you're
see
illiterate,
how that works.
That's why.
So, yeah, but it will soon enough be time for Fact or Fiction. What is going on here? All right, well, let's get into the start.
Okay,
six,
I'm
going
to do the first start since you're over there piddling around with the buttons and everything.
There they are.
It's not Fact or Fiction.
I know,
time.
But I'm excited, so he just took the machine away
it's
from
it's time
me.
For start
woo!
Or sit.
Close enough. We'll take
it. Why not? Huh? Okay.
All right, Rick.
I'll tell you what. I am going start quarterback. We're
okay.
going to do that first. You've
got to be very specific about this.
The Skins give up about 328 yards passing. I love Christian Ponder going
you
against
creep. There. That's my start. I don't really have a backup. So once again, we're going to have to agree. Well, defend yourself on Christian Ponder while I try to find somebody else.
I just did. Washington gives up 328 yards. They've got Adrian Peterson as a run game. And, actually Minnesota's a pretty good team.
Yeah, they really are.
Their defense is pretty solid. Percy Harvin, I tell you, if this kid stays healthy, he is a stud, and he's a must start.
All right, I'll tell you what, Rick, I'll have to go off the top of my head here. So when I do that, when I don't do any research, I can just go with a gut feeling. Here's a gut feeling I can't defend based on the way he played in his last game and based on the opponent this week. I just got a feeling in my substantial gut that I think coming off the bye week, Tony Romo managed to have a pretty nice week this week against Baltimore.
You know, that is kind of strange because I was thinking the same thing.
I have nothing to base it on. I like the bye week.
Baltimore's not that scary.
No.
They're a good team. But,
and I think with all his warts, I think Tony Romo is a competitor. He is. He's been sitting, coming off this bye, he's been sitting stewing 2 weeks on that five-interception performance against on Monday Night Football in prime time. I just think he bounces back. I'm not saying he's going to win. Chances are he'll find a way to lose it in the end, however. Just a gut feeling. That's all I have.
Yeah, win or lose means nothing in fantasy. So,
exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Now my quarterback sit is our old buddy Jay Smooth. Jason Consoli at Fantasy Sixth Man gets sized up for his pink Ben Roethlisberger jersey. That he will be wearing and will be showing on Twitter when this season's over. I'm going to sit Mark Sanchez against the Colts.
Wow, you really went out on a limb
there.
Hey,
it's bye weeks. People, okay. I'm telling you, people got guys like that sitting on their bench. Get somebody else.
Get him off your bench. Bring in anybody. Yeah. Is Curtis Painter still
get
available?
Get Julian Edelman for him or
sign him. Yeah, that was sort of cheap, Rick, but I'll let you get away with it. Mine this week, not a lot better. This guy's been terrible in terms of turning the ball over and in terms of winning football games recently. However, statistically puts up nice games. This week, though, going up against a pretty good Arizona defense who will turn you over, playing against a guy who loves to turn it over. I'm sitting Ryan Fitzpatrick this week.
Yeah, that isn't much better after what he's been putting up lately.
Well, but he's putting up 350 yards and four touchdowns along with all these turnovers. He's almost been serviceable in terms of fantasy scoring, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, Sanchez doesn't even qualify as a quarterback. I realize that. But, okay, I mean, that's I don't blame you at all. And actually, there's some people that drafted Fitzpatrick as their QB1
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the year. Thinking Buffalo was going to, you know.
I've done it in some larger leagues. Yeah. And I'm paying for it. But like I said, a lot of times you're playing from behind. They do fling it around. You'll see that 300-yard mark and a couple of touchdowns. You just have to live with losing those points on the interceptions.
Yeah, you're right. All right, now starting on a running back.
Wow, you must be really excited about this.
Now, this is going out on the proverbial limb.
Okay.
All right. After week one, okay, now this guy has been forgotten fantasy-wise, I'm telling you. But after week one, his last four games have been at Pittsburgh, at Miami, versus San Francisco and Houston.
Okay, very tough lineup.
I'm going Sean Green this week.
Oh, my God. Really, you're starting Sean Green this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think he will be very serviceable as an RB2 this week, or a flex.
No,
and I mean,
no,
they're playing the Colts. The Colts give up about almost 140 yards a game rushing
to legitimate NFL running backs. We're talking about Sean Green here. You think that just makes you right? You hit the gong and you win. Is that how this is working?
watch and learn, my young grasshopper.
I wish I hadn't taught you how to use that machine. Well, I vehemently disagree, Rick. My start this week.
Good.
Finally. A guy we talk about, spent an awful lot of time on him, basically staked our reputations on this guy. Terrible week last week. I like Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis to bounce back big time this week against Cleveland.
And you think... You yell at me for, like, trying to give these people some info and something to think about.
Okay.
You
gave them Sean Green.
Well.
Yeah, give them something to think about. This Brig guy's an idiot. That's what they're thinking about
right now.
Watch
and learn, grasshopper, I'm telling you.
But calling me a grasshopper and hitting the gong doesn't make you right.
Anybody is going to start Ben Jarvis Green Ellis
against
Cleveland.
No, they're not. Sure they are.
They are
not.
Yes, they are.
We are the only two dummies in this business, and when I say business, most of us are doing everything for free, similar to us. We're the only guys who have talked about Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis at all, and we staked our season on it. People aren't starting this guy. They're not buying into him. Coming off a bad week, coming off a week before that where he's fumbled, losing carries to Bernard Scott, who I realize is out. Now, people aren't starting him, and I am telling them to. Now, I'm going to hit your gong just for effect. Start Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis this week.
Oh, I agree. Do it.
So we've been arguing for 5 minutes on something we agree about.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay.
Oh, for God's sake.
We're starting this, and we already covered it in the one question. I don't like Steven Jackson against Miami at all.
Yeah, no doubt
and
about it.
And if you've got somebody else in your bench, I'd put him in there.
Yeah, anybody else. Mine very similar, coming off a huge game last week, over 200 yards. This is pretty much going to be a theme. Whatever running back's playing against that San Francisco defense, I'm not going anywhere near Ahmad Bradshaw this week.
Really?
Yes, really.
All right. Okay, I mean, you know. I mean, that's bold.
Yeah, now, I'll grant you this. And I can tell this is what you're thinking by the disgust in your face. We are in the midst of bye weeks. You probably don't have a lot of better options. But if you do, if you have good depth, would I play him over Sean Green? Probably. But then I'd play you over Sean Green. I'm trying to think of some guys... Sort of in that realm, you know, if I have Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is my three, I'm playing him over Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, name me some other guys. We could play that game if you want to.
Okay, this week, Ahmad Bradshaw or, let me look at the schedule here. Okay, Ahmad Bradshaw or Doug Martin?
Doug Martin.
Okay. Ahmad Bradshaw. Oh, see, you're just going to go against it just to defend yourself anyway.
Well, there's a good chance.
You should just
of that.
Ask me, and then, you know, I'd give nothing but an unbiased, honest answer.
That's just not true, but go ahead.
Okay. Michael Turner. Or Ahmad Bradshaw.
Michael Turner. Against that bad Oakland team coming all the way east in a heartbeat. I like Michael Turner this week. He would probably be
Mikel LeSure.
That's getting close. Detroit is playing Philly. I might play Bradshaw there. I need to see one more week out of LeSure. We had the big week. We had a bad week. Then we had a bye week. So I think we'll break the tie this week against Philly.
All right. Okay. I just happened to see a name in the chat room. Vic Ballard or Ahmad Bradshaw?
I haven't seen it out of Ballard yet. I know he was the hot waiver wire pickup this week. I'd probably play Bradshaw over him.
Ben Tate.
Yeah, Ben Tate's banged up and he's the number two. So
yeah, just seeing how far you're going
Bradshaw,
there.
Bradshaw. So yeah, I'm sort of in the middle on him, but I'm sticking by it. I don't want to play him.
I'm getting all kinds of heck from the chat room. My green pick.
Well, you should. It's the stupidest thing anybody has ever heard.
Okay.
You guys, you're being too polite about it. Just call him stupid. I just want to see a string of stupid about 15 times, however many spaces are in that chat room. Let's just fill it up with that. Let them know what we all think.
That's okay. That's okay.
God, I hope you're wrong. Tuesday's going to be insufferable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not.
No, they won't. They won't bite. Everybody loves the old man. They don't want to hurt the old man's feelings. Well, they know you could die any day now, and they don't want their final words to you to be that you were stupid. Yeah. I don't so much don't care. So I've accepted it. You're going to be gone one day.
Yeah, aren't we all?
I should probably start auditioning for your replacements. If anybody's in the chat rooms interested in becoming part of the asylum, Rick could go any day now. So we're a way off task here. I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
So what are we up to? We're starting a wide receiver. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going out on a limb a little bit again here.
Last time you went out on a limb, I almost... Oh. Here we go with that gong again. He's cracking himself up with his gong. Look at that. He's going to fall off his chair. It's just a gong. Your age, you've probably watched the Gong Show enough. Is that what it is?
Chuck Barris. Oh, it was awesome. G.G. and the Dancing Machine. It was beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Andre Roberts at home against Buffalo.
Yeah, love it, actually. Can't argue with it. Somebody I gave a lot of thought to. He's emerging. There was a lot of talk of who was going to be the two behind Fitzgerald, but Andre Roberts gets it done every week, continually finding the end zone, and against a terrible Buffalo defense. I wish, as much fun as I've had yelling at you the past 15 minutes, I have no argument with that at all.
Oh, man, that's too bad. But what's your start?
Mine, a guy, been banged up, drafted as a starter, drafted as a high-end number two, but I think a lot of people fell off. And I'm defending this because as I look at it, it's not as earth-shattering as I thought it would be. But been a disappointment to this point this year. I think Jeremy Maclin breaks out this week against what's been a bad Detroit defense as well. This game's got all the makings of 41-38.
Yeah, he's been banged up, that's for sure, and they've been rather quiet. I mean, Vic's been really ineffective. So, yeah.
If he's going to get effective, he's going to do it against Detroit this week.
He's going to have to, that's for sure, because I got a feeling after the bye week, Detroit's liable to throw some points up on the board. So,
yeah,
I
no
can't
doubt
really
about
argue
it
there. I mean, there's probably some possibilities, especially with bye weeks there, that's for sure.
All right.
Okay, kind of went out on a limb a little bit on my wide receiver sit.
We could fall off one of these limbs.
But, you know, I really hate to bench somebody. But I just think, you know, going against Seattle, I think, you know, New England's going to exploit them more with Welker underneath and Gronkowski. I just don't think Lloyd's just going to have that big of a game.
Yeah, you know, I don't hate that. Lloyd, a guy, I wasn't big on him coming in. I haven't been blown away. He's been fine, but he's been a low end, too. I think this guy was getting drafted higher than that. And where's this game at, Rick? Who's making the long trip? New England's going to Seattle.
Yeah.
Even a good New England team probably wins that game. You're going to struggle on offense when you go to Seattle. So, yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. If there's going to be one guy that struggles, I agree. fast defense. Brady's going to have to get rid of it quick, which is going to lend itself definitely more towards Gronkowski and towards Welker. So I actually like that sit. Mine is a guy I've gone to the well 2 weeks in a row now with Matt Cassel being out, going to the backup, the savior, Brady Quinn. But Dwayne Bowe, just as I want to bring my theory out again, this is going to be a close game because this is a game against two suspect teams. In close games, Dwayne Bowe struggles. He 4 for 50, 4 for 60. I'll throw it out there. 5 catches for 64 yards, I think, is what he has this week. And as you know, he's the best garbage point man in fantasy football. Going to be a close game with his backup quarterback. There's probably a lot of guys I'd play over Dwayne Bowe this week.
Yeah, like you said, that's probably going to be a toss-up game for sure. And Tampa Bay's defense hasn't given up a whole lot of total yards. So, yeah, it's going to be a close game. And like you said, he sure hasn't been performing too well in close games.
No, not in close game. When they're getting blown out, he'll go for over 100 and a touch every time.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I really have no complaint about that one. So I guess it is time for – wait a minute.
Oh, you're going to make me wait.
Fact. Or fiction.
trying to.
Oh, my God, it's sweeping. We got to get a broom sound effect. We have to find.
Hey,
you
God.
Just talk. You
well, don't
that
lose
there.
It. Don't lose it. I think what we need to do is come up with a fact or fiction T-shirt. Oh, he just screwed the board up. There's like sparks coming out of it now. It's what he just did. But I'm thinking T-shirts. We could have a whole merchandise line for fact or fiction, the way it's taken over the world. You couldn't find a broom, so you're going with a witch. And there's an elephant. Anything else? Any other buttons you want to push?
That's about all we got.
Can we get on with the show? There you go. All right, Rick, I will start. I will be the host. I will be Chuck Woolery right off the bat here.
I think we ought to just go into the chat room. There's a fact or fiction put to us.
So we got some Chuck Woolery wannabe out there, huh?
Yeah, it's Shane Woolery.
Oh, our boy Shane Hallam. All
yes,
right. Indeed. I will gladly answer a fact or fiction from Mr. Hallam.
Okay.
A fellow suffering Pittsburgher this evening.
Yeah. Yes, suffering right along with us. Fact or fiction? Andrew Luck will outscore RG3 for the rest of the year if both play every game the rest of the way.
Oh, for the rest of the year? That's so tough. I'm going to say fiction just based on rushing yards. RG3 is going to have a couple of those games where he's going to rattle off 40 or 50 yards rushing. He's going to score some rushing touchdowns. Andrew Luck, a little more fleet of foot than you think he is, but just based on that, it's going to be close because it Luck basically averaging 300 yards a game. That's tough. But just based on the running ability and the way they play, I think Robert Griffin III, when you're talking fantasy points, could put up more numbers.
Boy, I tell you, that's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
I guess.
You just want to disagree with me.
Yeah.
Let's be honest with everybody.
I think he's going to throw for more touchdowns. And
yeah, I agree.
And like you said,
more yards.
Yeah, the legs for RG3 is really going to make up a lot with rushing points. I think it's going to be close. Yeah, flip a coin. I mean, especially if you got both of them on your team, it would be a really tough spot.
Yeah, I wouldn't want
to
have to make
that decision.
I'll tell you that. Yeah, I think Andrew Luck throws for more yards. That's not even a question. Throws for more touchdowns. I think RG3 runs for enough yards and runs for enough touchdowns to make up that difference and nips them just a little bit right at the very end.
These guys are going to be good for a long time, though, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, both guys.
All right, Chuck Woolery, you start off?
Let's move on. Actually, I'm going to scratch out this first one because I had to go to it when you hornswoggled my start at quarterback out of me. So Darren McFadden scores over 12 fantasy points this week against Atlanta. We've seen big numbers, and we've seen some threes and fours, like in D-Mac this week.
Yeah, they're coming off a bye, and I think that 12 points is not that much.
60 yards and a touchdown, 100 yards rushing, 60 and catches for 30 yards, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities at all.
To explain myself, I choose that number because, unfortunately, I think with McFadden, that 12 points, I think that's the realm I have him in. if we'd have been doing this in the preseason, the beginning of last year before he got hurt, I think I'd have phrased the question with 20 points or 24 points. Unfortunately, with Darren McFadden, the bar's come way down.
Yeah, but, you know, they're coming off a bye week. Atlanta is... they're running a streak, and the longer streaks go, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly not looking forward to Oakland winning this game. But, yeah, I think 12 points at minimum for him this week.
All right.
And that brings me to that. It's kind of funny. I'll bring it to my fact, first fact or fiction. Darren McFadden breaks 100 yards versus Atlanta.
I think I already sort of put myself in on that. I'm going to say no, not 100 yards. I do think he has a better game. I think he may have a bigger role in the passing game. The Atlanta defense, pretty good. And more than anything, I think the Raiders are going to be playing from behind, so I don't know how much opportunity he's going to have to run the ball. I'd be happy to see 70 out of him if he could grab three or four balls for another 30 yards and hopefully find the end zone. I think would be a good week for Darren McFadden this week.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Sticking with the Raiders, Atlanta. Apparently, we've got this game on the mind. This one, little more open ended. But Carson Palmer, useful as a bye week replacement this week.
Yeah, I think he's going to rack up quite a few yards. I think they're going to be behind, and I think he's going to get quite a few passing yards. So I think he's going to be very useful.
Yeah, I mean, could be in what would be considered a bad game, could put up 300 yards. You know, honestly, I think they're going to be behind trying to keep up. I didn't want to put it on fantasy points, but I think he's going to turn the ball over a lot. That Atlanta defense has turned a lot better quarterbacks over a lot more times than Carson Palmer. But in terms of useful, you know, I'd start him over Mark Sanchez, a name you brought up. I'd start him over Ryan Fitzpatrick this week, I think I would. I'll sort of go through the list here of other guys. Here's one for you, Carson Palmer or Sam Bradford versus Miami this week.
Oh, Palmer.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about Sanchez. How about him or Josh Freeman?
Freeman's going against KC. I have Palmer.
Yeah, that's a little closer, but I tend to agree with you there. The rest, really not worth mentioning. So interesting, but I think definitely useful as a bye week replacement.
Okay, I'm going to give you one. It's really not fantasy, but it's just kind of an interesting question. Fact or fiction? Green Bay beats Houston this week.
I'm going to say yeah. They're in desperation mode. Houston sitting fat and happy at 5-0. They're not the kind of team that's going to run out to 11-12-0. It's going to be a shootout, I think, because I don't see Green Bay being able to stop that running game. I think just your back's against the wall, you're on the road, everything's set up for them to fall to 2-4 in their season to end. That team is just too good. I think logically on paper, Houston wins this game. I just believe in this is a championship caliber team with their backs against the wall.
Yeah, I mean, you almost picked off the Carolina upset over Atlanta a couple weeks ago. So
it'd be pretty hard to call this a big upset. It'd be a minor. It'd be a Vegas upset, but I don't think intellectually it's that big of an upset.
No, it's not. I mean, certainly Green Bay is capable of beating any team in the league. And, but you know, Houston lost Cushing for the year. I don't know how that's going to affect them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, time will tell. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat them. I know it's in Houston, so that's kind of – tilts the Texans' way a little bit for me, but, yeah, I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, I just don't think that team's too good to fall to 2-4 is really what it comes down to for me. All right, Rick, I got to ask you about every week. I hit it right on the head last week. This week, Ryan Matthews runs for over 80 yards versus the Denver Broncos. Oh, really? I thought for sure you'd go the other way on that one. Now you're all in. Now you have man love for Ryan Matthews.
No, I don't have man love for Ryan Matthews, but the guy's talented, and he seems to be pretty healthy right now and running pretty well. And they'll be able to move the ball on Denver. You know, Denver's got a good defense, but it's certainly not the stingiest one in the league. So, yeah, 80 yards, I think that's certainly in his realm.
I think complete role reversal here. I don't think he sees 80 yards.
You just don't like anything I say.
Well, we've known that for well over a year now, anyhow, since we started doing the show. But still not what we expected to be, still a pretty stingy run defense from Denver. Again, I think this becomes a shootout between Manning and Rivers. I think both of those guys are going to want it to be that way. I might be making this up. Don't I feel like they don't like each other or something? Didn't something happen at some point? I get this feeling like those two don't like each other.
Oh, Denver, San Diego, that was...
Well, I know those two teams hate each other, but I feel like Rivers and Manning had something. Or at least Rivers had something against Manning. Manning doesn't have time for a gnat like Philip Rivers, I understand.
That's true.
Completely making that up. I'm not sure.
But if Ryan Matthews doesn't get 80 yards against Denver... then he probably should have pulled himself out.
Oh, here we go.
Because it wouldn't be Norr's fault that they didn't run.
I think he'd have to be hurt to pull himself out.
No, it'd be his fault because he wasn't running. In fact, it's his responsibility.
He should have pulled himself out, so you're sticking to your stance. All right, that's fine.
All right. Okay. Boy, I tell you, we're just hitting right on the right games here. Fact or fiction? Philip Rivers has more fantasy points than Peyton Manning this week playing each other.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say no. I think Philip Rivers tends to... I think this is a big spot. If I'm not mistaken, this is Monday Night Football, right? Yeah, so it's the national spotlight, kind of similar to a playoff game, two teams that don't like each other, big game, big spot, prime time, and everything I've seen of Philip Rivers shows that he wilts in these situations. Conversely, Peyton Manning steps up in these situations. I think this game's probably close for three quarters, and then Peyton Manning runs away and hides in the fourth quarter, and I think easily outscores Philip Rivers this week.
I think he does, too. I mean, he easily outscored Tom Brady in the game they lost. So.
They got drubbed, exactly.
Yeah, so I see no really any problem with that.
All right, this one, similar to your last question, or the one before that, not so much. We'll get into how it's fantasy relevant. Fact or fiction, the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's kind of like he's trying to read P.A. Jets
fan
the other week.
Yeah, P.A. Jets fan. I wish she was here tonight. I could botch that name again. I haven't seen her in the chat room. The Kansas City Chiefs score over 17 points this week versus Tampa Bay.
Ooh.
I agree.
I don't like Brady Quinn coming in.
No.
Maybe 14.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's got 10 or 13 sort of written all over it. Yeah, Brady Quinn is Brady Quinn. He's just awful.
Brady Quinn.
I do like Jamal Charles this week, and I think they're going to lean heavier on him. Might see his receptions start to go back up a little bit.
Don't have to reiterate what I think about
Jamal Charles. Well, exactly. Obviously, in every week, so this kid averaging, about 170 yards a game now.
Yeah.
So, but I think he's about the only bright spot. Maybe, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if Quinn has this long term or if this is just based on the injury to Castle. This will be a game to watch. Pay attention to this one. See who the go-to guy is going to be. A bad quarterback like Quinn's going to lean on one receiver. Maybe it is Dwayne Bowe. Usually it's not because he's going to be getting the top corner, the top coverage. Maybe it's the tight ends. I don't know who it is, but pay attention to this. Somebody may emerge out of this situation with having some fantasy value with a bad backup quarterback like Brady Quinn.
I'm hoping it's about 13 catches out of the backfield for Jamal Charles.
I'm sure you are. No, I think everybody hopes for that unless they're playing against Jamal Charles this week.
Okay. Fact or fiction? Ray Rice runs for more yards than DeMarco Murray against each other.
I am so far out.
So tell me what you think.
Real quick. I'm about done. I know he's your boy, and you're going to get upset. I'm about done with DeMarco Murray. I've seen too many bad weeks out of him following up a good handful of games last year before the injury. I'm not seeing it, Rick. I don't know if the offense is to blame. I don't know if DeMarco Murray's to blame. And Ray Rice, I'll say no more than he's Ray Rice, and I don't think that matchup's even close.
Oh, exactly. I just threw that out there because I knew it would get you fired up. Who are you going to – pick, over Ray Rice on a daily basis? Jamal Charles, maybe. LeSean McCoy.
Never going to be faced with a situation where you have so much talent on your bench that you're considering benching any guy in the realm of Ray Rice, and that to include DeMarco Murray. So let's stick with the running backs, Rick. Trent Richardson finds a way to score 20 fantasy points this week against Cincinnati. All in on Ray Rice. I got Ray Rice.
Yeah, I'm all in on Ray Rice.
How about Trent Richardson?
What's
Jim Brown think of Trent Richardson this week? Do you have an update?
I don't have an update from old Jimbo there. But I think he probably likes him. He was just kidding anyway.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Cincinnati's defense certainly hasn't been any steel curtain by any stretch of the imagination. Their offense really hasn't been that explosive. They've, you know, been winning some games, but Cleveland's bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's their one bright spot. And, I think he could probably manage 20. I'm trying to figure what that would be. Say 75 yards, a touchdown. Yeah, boy, that's tough.
He's going to have to get over 100 yards, baby.
Yeah.
100 yards and a touch is what I'm asking you.
Boy, I'm going out on a limb, and I'll stick by it.
That's tough to say in this game. You know, I'm not even going to answer because I don't have to because I asked the question. I'm holding the microphone, so you have to answer the question. I bring it up because I wanted to make the point that
I'm holding one, too.
Well, yeah, but mine's better. So
not really.
Trent Richardson is a guy I wasn't very high on, even early on when everybody was super high on him, when this guy in May and June was talked about as the 11th, 12th overall pick, had the injuries, dropped to the bottom of the second round, came out, had a nice week one, struggled for a couple of games. The last few games and some games, they didn't play very well. He's starting to put up some numbers. Towards the end of the year, I worry about him breaking down, but right now I really am all in on Trent Richardson as a low-end number one running back. I'm pleasantly surprised what he's managed to do with that bad team.
Yeah, and, you know, let's face it, bad teams have good players on them, and he's emerging as the one, which brings me up to my next fact or fiction with you. Greg Little has, before you hit the buzzer.
All right, go ahead.
God, I can't even get it out. He's ready to smash the machine.
Smash the button.
Greg Little has over 50 yards receiving.
All right, if you said over under one catch this week for Greg Little, I'm going with the under. This guy is so bad disappearing. Last week, the entire receiver corps banged up. The entire receiving corps banged up for Cleveland. And you didn't even know he was on the team. It is so pathetic. That kid had so much talent coming out, had such flashes last year, and managed to just completely disappear this year. If you'd have asked me 4 weeks ago who Travis Benjamin was, I'd have told you he was one of our presidents back in the 1800s at some point, not a wide receiver outproducing Greg Little in Cleveland. He's just pathetic. I can't think of any other way to say it. Greg Little just playing absolutely pathetic. In 50 yards, he'll be lucky to string that together in the next 3 weeks.
That is Greg Little. I mean, he puts up nothing, so why can't he?
All right. This week, Rick, somebody we talked about, question came out of the chat room. Kid doing it week after week. Fact or fiction, Andrew Luck throws for over 300 yards again this week versus the New York Jets. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I don't think he's going to have a crummy game. I'm going to say he's going to be a little under 300. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. And I think the Jets are going to be able to run the ball a little bit.
You just wanted to say that again. Sean Green is going to stink again this week. I want it on the record.
You got it on the record. You already got it on the record, You asked for a start. I gave you one.
But
it's wrong.
You
don't like it, so you want to try to get some mileage out of it.
I'm trying to save you here. I'm giving you one more out. Here's your one last chance to take it back. All right, so sticking by. I'm going to disagree, Rick. I like pretty much a weekly thing for Andrew Luck, 300 yards. They're not going to be able to run the ball
well. Yeah, it's certainly not out of the realm, that's for sure.
I think the kid is just that good. Obviously, Darrell Revis actually hit IR today, so unfortunately he won't be back for the Super Bowl as Rex Ryan had. That's why they hadn't put him on yet. So they're giving up on the Super Bowl dream, apparently, at this point. So I think 300 yards going to be pretty commonplace for Andrew Luck from here on out, and the Jets don't scare me.
No, the Jets aren't scaring many people, that's for sure. Okay, fact or fiction? We got, what, about 6 minutes?
Yep, right all about right. that.
Fact or fiction? C.J. Spiller has more fantasy points than Fred Jackson.
Oh, that's so tough. We could use that question every week. We might just write
and
it
we
on
just
the,
may.
We just write it on the wall down here, and whoever gets to it first. We have that matchup against Arizona. You know what? I'm going to keep going this way with C.J. Spiller. I think as he gets healthier, they've had a couple tough matchups the last couple weeks. He's been so explosive when Jackson was out. So much speed, the ability to catch when they're going to try and get him the ball in space. I think these two are going to be close. I think it's going to be close to a 50-50. I think on any given week, Spiller could really break one 60, 70, 80 yards for a touchdown. So if I'm gambling, not that I condone that, but if I'm gambling on it, I'm going to risk it with C.J. Spiller week after week just based on that home run potential.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. My only reservation with that is it seems like Jackson, it's his job. But, I don't know if he's going to get it or not. But, yeah, I'm certainly not going to argue with it. A lot of it depends on the health. They've both been kind of banged up. And,
yeah.
But Jackson says he's feeling better. Spiller's getting better,
Yeah, it's going to be a tough call every week, especially if you have both, which a lot of guys handcuff those two in because you could get Spiller in the later rounds. So, Rick, we talked a little bit about this game earlier. Stephen Ridley been a huge surprise this year, coming off of two big weeks in a row. He managed to squeeze out 60 yards versus Seattle this week. I lowballed it for you. Okay, 60 yards, you think?
Yeah, I think. I'll tell you what, it doesn't look like New England's having much trouble running on anybody. And 60 yards, I think, certainly reasonable. And I think he'll get it.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think he'll do better than that. I'd take the over. I think they're going to come in and try to establish the run. It's so hard. First of all, with Russell Wilson, Seattle isn't going to come up and put up a bunch of points against them. The game's going to be closer than you would think it would be on paper, just because I'm really buying into that Seattle 12th man the more and more I watch them. I can see New England trying to come in, establish the run game, ball control, trying to stay out of the shotgun with as noisy it is there. So I'm going to agree. I think Stephen Ridley has a pretty nice week this week.
Okay. And I guess this is about the last one, at least on my end here. I don't know if we'll get another one coming back. But fact or fiction, Vincent Jackson is a better start than Miles Austin this week.
I'm going in general. I'm starting to buy back in. Miles Austin's been healthy, and in that role he's been successful, finding the end zone consistently. I already said I like Romo this week. Look, I love Vincent Jackson, has the ability to have some big weeks, but he's got that Josh Freeman problem, and I like Tony Romo more than I like Freeman. I'm not scared of that Baltimore defense as I would have been a few years ago. I just think on a week-to-week, if you gave me those two guys, if I had to pick one to start, beginning of the year I'd have given you Jackson. I'm starting to turn to the Miles Austin side of things.
Yeah, the healthier he gets, the more comfortable you feel putting him in your lineup. You're right. I love Vincent Jackson, but I don't really care for Josh Freeman. One thing I do look for, I'll tell you what, here's something there. Start looking forward to you guys that have stashed LeGarrette Blount on your bench.
Yeah, we talked about that.
He's going to start seeing some more playing time, I think. I think Martin's starting to fall out of favor a little bit with Shiano, and apparently Blount is out working him in practice, and,
How many times have we heard that amongst those two guys, though? It's happened so many times through the preseason. Blount was beating him out, and then Martin was doing it. And we've done this thing. I wonder what Shiano just throws garbage out there to see what kind of reaction he gets. I honestly start to wonder sometimes.
It's hard to say, but he could pay off. But, yeah, I like Vincent Jackson, but
now,
I think Miles Austin.
Here's a question for you. Let's stick with the Blount-Martin thing.
Right.
You say Blount getting more playing time. I fear as a Martin owner in a ton of leagues, Blount's going to start seeing those goal line carries. I think there's actually a little question about that. How much of the workload do you see Blount starting to take away between the 20s?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, look at last week. Martin had, of course, albeit they didn't have many carries, Martin had 8 carries, Blount had 6. Right there you're looking at about a 60, 55,
yeah.
45, something like that. So
it's a scary split for Martin owners.
You start getting 50-50 and Blount starts,
yeah.
His average starts going over 4, Martins hangs around at 3.5 or whatever it is, 3.2. I can
see it swing the other direction, no doubt. All right, Rick. Well, we are flat out of time. Big good show tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I want to thank everybody once again. Numbers continue to be great. Check us out all weekend. We will answer your questions. You've got any tough lineup decisions to make, hit us up on Twitter, at Asylum Football. Email asylumfootball@gmail.com. And thank you to 88 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock. Coming up next, Slippery Rock Football. We'll be back Tuesday on the Blitz.
Take care.
Gonna grab you a beer and get on up in the truck. It's going down tonight. It's all